I started a series here, it's called Learning to Discern, and we're going to talk about that again this morning. I really sense the Lord leading in this direction, and He confirmed it Wednesday night. The Lord is good, you know. He will show up where He's welcomed. He'll show up where He's sought. If you're hungry and thirsty, you'll be filled, right? But if you are filled up on filler food, if you're filled up on junk, then you won't have a hunger for that which truly satisfies. If you eat junk food all the time, it's going to affect your health. So as we fill up on Jesus, amen, our spiritual health will be good. But if we fill up on junk food and stuff that we shouldn't be listening to, watching, doing, you know, because it's just not good for your spirit to allow things that defile into the eye gates. Are you with me?
Amen.
So we all get our feet dirty as we walk through this world. Thank God we have someone, an advocate with a Father, the Lord Jesus. We can come to Him and confess and renounce, and He is faithful, amen, to forgive us. Thank God for His grace. We need to understand, folks, that you cannot live under law and grace at the same time. If you confuse it, you will be defeated over and over again. If you try to mix the two together, you'll never walk in victory. How many have discovered that already? Okay, some of you discovering that. All right. Well, come, you know, sometimes it's been a process, you know, of being renewed in the spirit of our mind. It doesn't happen overnight. Are you with me? We can have stuff that's been fed into us over a period of time that we've believed and we've acted upon, and it just doesn't go away right away. Sometimes, you know, what we have to do is we have to wash ourselves with the Word. We have to renew our minds. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So when we hear the revelation of the truth that is in Christ, it washes, amen, it overshadows, it blots out the lies that the enemy had planted over the years into our minds. So when we're born again, Christ comes to dwell within us. But then there's this thing called the renewing of the mind that needs to take place. We need to come to the revelation of what has actually taken place. Are you with me? We're being renewed in the spirit of our mind. We're coming to a revelation, knowledge, or understanding of what has taken place in redemption. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Yeah. That's the word of God. So if you're not a new creation, maybe you're not in Christ. But if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. But that doesn't mean necessarily that you totally understand what that means. And that's why we're here, is to find out, you know, what it means to be a son and a daughter of God. We're coming to the revelation. God reveals Himself from glory to glory as we look into the face of Jesus. Amen. As we look to Him, He begins to reveal more and more of Himself to us. And as we see Him, then we begin to see ourselves differently. But if you're not looking for Him, then you're going to only see yourself in your own eyes. And when we see ourselves in our own eyes, we see incompletion. We see failure. We see not measuring up when we look at ourselves from our own eyes. When we judge ourselves, when we examine ourselves, do we not say, man, I'm a mess? What God is trying to say is, listen, if it's an issue in your heart, something you need to repent of, then just listen to me. But what I want you to know is that what I did on the cross over 2,000 years ago for you was enough for you to transition from death into life. Once that takes place, something changes within you, and you no longer desire to do the things you used to do. It doesn't mean that you're perfect and you don't mess up, but it means that your heart changes because you have a new nature now. And so what we need to do is discover now, who am I? What is my true identity in Christ? I need to discover that and then begin to live and operate out of that reality. Not in what was, not in a way of achieving something. How many know that as long as you are attempting to achieve in the kingdom, you're falling short all the time. You see, Jesus did for us what we could not do for us. That's why the cross was necessary. We could not achieve salvation. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is the gift of God. But having come to Christ, having come into salvation, now there becomes a process of being renewed in our minds and understanding, who am I now? Oh, I begin to identify, that's the new me. Oh, that's the old me. That's the part that I am dead to now, you see. I reckon myself indeed dead to sin. That's what Paul was saying. You need to consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. When you are focused on your sin, it magnifies and it beats you up. When you're focused on Jesus, there's life and peace. Are you with me? So the devil's constantly trying to dangle your past in front of you to keep you defeated and say, you haven't done enough yet. You haven't done enough yet. Jesus has already done enough. And the devil hates to hear that because he knows it's true, but he's a liar. He's a thief and he twists the truth. Now, discernment is something that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, gives us. Are you with me? However, it does not mean that once you're born again that you have all discernment and you can see everything, because what you need is the renewing of your mind through the Word. The more of the renewing process takes place in your life, the more you're able to see clearly. That's why when we have small children, amen, we need to make some decisions for them. Hello? Oh, let them alone. They'll make their own decisions. No, that's not wise. That's why you're the parent and they're the child. You're there to mentor them. So when we come to Jesus, you see, the Lord begins a process in our lives, amen, of maturing us. And so we don't have it all together. We think we do. There's a lot of things I used to think I was so convinced about that now I look back and say, well, I guess I wasn't quite right about that. And then you get into the teenage process, you know, years where you're like, now you're a know-it-all. Oh, those old fogies don't know what they're talking about. I'm talking about spiritually, right? You know, you get to that place where you get cocky and pretty much you think you got your big Bible under your arm and you're going to tell people how it's supposed to be. Not to say that you don't have understanding, you don't have truth and a knowledge of the truth, but we need to approach everything with humility, understanding that it's only by the mercy and the grace of God that we're even going to be able to see clearly. And God's not going to give his grace to the proud and the arrogant. He's not going to give his grace to the ones who think they know it all. See, the Spirit of God is like a river that seeks out the low places. And so the humble heart will be satisfied. The humble heart will receive the revelation of God. Not the ones who think they know. You see, the Pharisees are the ones who thought that they knew. And Jesus said, because you say, I know, your sin remains. He says, because you're not listening to what I'm telling you, is that you also must be born again. But they were like, oh no, we're the experts here. We're the experts of the law. And who is this? He's coming to rain on our parade. And they got mad at Jesus because everyone was going after Jesus and they were losing their following. You see, it's very easy for people to get into the position where they become the go-to person. If you want to know what God is saying, come to me. And Wednesday night we talked about discerning between true and false prophets. True and false prophets, but also foolish prophet. A foolish prophet is one who, you know, is not necessarily a child of the devil, but they've gotten off course. And it doesn't matter, you know, how spiritually we think we are. If we don't walk in humility and we keep our eyes on Jesus, do you know any of us can be deceived? As a matter of fact, Jesus said, if possible, the elect will be deceived in the last days. I think we're living in times of great deception today. Would you agree? Okay, so we're a Pentecostal church, you know, and we believe in the full counsel. We believe, amen, the whole Bible. We believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today. The power of God is available for His church today, amen, to empower her to be an influence in this world, to be an effective witness for Christ. We'll say yes, we agree with that. And you know, most people in the world, they know too that they need power. They need something greater than themselves. Not everybody knows what that greater than them is, but they'll say, yeah, there's got to be a higher power. And I call on my higher power. Some people are calling on the wrong higher power, but people are looking for truth. Even people that are in deception are actually looking for truth, folks. If they knew they're in deception, they wouldn't be doing it. Are you with me? If they knew what they were really doing, they wouldn't do it. That's why Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And so people are pursuing heaven. We're looking for something to satisfy that longing in our heart, our soul, that emptiness that's there. And only God can do that. Only Jesus can do that. He's the only one that can fill that emptiness within us. And so the world is interested in authentic power. Authentic power. And they're looking for what is real. I was looking for something real. I was looking in the wrong place, but I was looking for something real. And you know, in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, in the last days, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. He didn't say on some, but he said on all flesh, he's going to pour out his spirit. Folks, I believe we're in those times and God is pouring out his spirit. I can say that because I know that there's times when we're here and we're gathered and we're worshiping God and the Holy Spirit is being poured out upon us. Amen. And there are people who sit here and are completely disconnected from what's happening. God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh, but not everybody's responding to his invitation to open the door and let him come in. You see, our responsibility is to open the door and to let him come in. To worship him in spirit and in truth. And so you can be in the atmosphere of heaven and miss heaven. Jesus can be, amen, in the vicinity, but never be welcomed really into your house. And so the Father is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And so God is pouring out his spirit in all flesh. He sends your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And then Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now we believe that and we see that. Amen. How many have seen that in your life? And how many know that there is a requirement for you and for me as followers of Jesus to move in the authentic power of God? Did you know that's a requirement for you? It's not just for the preacher, it's for you. There must be the manifestation of God's presence and his power through our lives and the various ways that God will use us as vessels, but there must be some manifestation of the reality of the kingdom through us. That's what's going to change things. How many know that God has chosen human beings to do his work on the earth? We're sitting around sometimes asking God to do something that he's told us to do. God cast a demon out of those people, those ugly people over there. Those scary, creepy people over there. God, take care of that giant over there. And God is saying, you are the one I chose to go and set the captives free. Throughout history, God has always chosen people to work through. Are you with me? It's no different today. God has chosen you and me to go and to do the works that Jesus did and to complete the assignment that he's given us to do while we're here in the flesh on the earth. We only have a short time to do what he's called us to do. So we've got to know that God is expecting us to get with him, to agree with him, to move with him, to not work for him, but to walk with him. And as we walk with him, we will work with him. You see, that's the difference. It's relationship. It's not the taskmaster telling me to do this. It's like I'm walking with Jesus and it's just an automatic thing. Ministry is very, in a way, it's supernaturally natural. Or naturally supernatural, either way you want to look at it. We don't have to act weird, even though people accuse me of that. You don't have to get spooky with people when you minister to them. You can just be you. Isn't that cool? You can just be you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We bless you and praise you today, Lord, for your goodness and for your word. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, today. Give us understanding. Hallelujah. And right now we bind the works of the adversary and we permit you not to disturb this meeting in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, folks, what we need as followers of Jesus is discernment. We need to have great discernment so that we can avoid being seduced by the adversary with cheap counterfeits. Okay, because the enemy, what he wants you to do, I want you to hear this, is he wants you to tap into the wrong source. That's why we've got to be careful that we're not pursuing power, but we're pursuing the Lord. Because when you pursue power and gifts and things of God, sometimes you can get an interference there. Someone will come in and he'll offer you something. If you don't know the heart of the one who gives the gifts, amen, you could easily be distracted or seduced, if you will, by the adversary who often will try to impersonate the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk about this. How can I tell the difference between what is authentic power of God and authentic worker or servant of the Lord and versus that which is of the enemy? And those who serve him. How can I know? How many know that Christians too can start out right but end up wrong? So we need discernment. We know that God's grace is sufficient, that God is able to keep us. But God is also expecting us to pay attention to him and to abide in him. Our responsibility is to abide in him. If we abide in him, we will bear fruit, good fruit. Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit. So by their fruits you shall know them. Very important way. One of the ways that you can identify the true from the counterfeit. Now we know today God is definitely moving throughout the earth right now. This is a time of great harvest. Not so much in certain places in America right now. However, I believe that's going to change. That's going to shift. But God is raising up a generation that are encountering him and that they are moving out into the streets with the authentic power of God, and they are destroying the works of the devil. They're not going to hunker down in the church and hope the giant goes away. They're going to go out there and they're going to beat the giant up. Are you with me? They're going to knock him down and take his head off, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God has given us that authority in his name. And folks, it's no time to be neutral. It's no time to kind of just hang out in the middle. I'm just going to kind of play it safe. You know, if you're hunkered down in a fort and the enemy is attacking you, there's a time to defend yourself, but then there's a time to counterattack. But if you're constantly just living in the defensive, you're going to get overrun. How many know that we should not always be living in the place of defensiveness against our adversary? Amen. It's not a constant battle of, you know, I'm stopping this and I'm being beat up. I'm being attacked here. I'm being attacked there. And constantly in the defensive. It's like, when are we going to say enough? When are we going to say that's enough? We're coming after you. You know, so many people are just tired of institutionalized religion. Are you with me? They're tired of church. They're tired of playing church. We're not playing church here. That's what I love about you. We are the church. And we meet in the hall. We meet in this building. Amen. It's the synagogue. It's the meeting hall. But we are the church. But people are getting sick of institutionalized religion. And that's why many of them are dying. The churches, folks, are closing down in unprecedented numbers right now. And if you look at the statistics, they're shutting their doors every day. Churches are shutting down. Mosques are going up. They're buying out the churches and they're putting mosques in their place. How many know we got to get away from institutionalized religion and a form of godliness without any substance, without any real power? Amen. Amen. We are the people of God. Yeah. And we've been given authority by our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, to destroy his works, the works of the devil. And so while we see God raising up a generation, especially of young people now, that they are warriors for Jesus, they are walking two and two, they are unified, and they have a heart bent to destroy the devil's works, amen, and to exalt Jesus in the earth. But at the same time, we see that increase of the psychics and the mediums. We see an increase in the occult at the same time, you know. But the Bible says where iniquity abounds, grace much more abounds, amen?
Amen.
And we're going to shine even brighter. I don't want to be in a place where everything is rosy. I want to be in the dark place so we can be the light. Amen? Whew. How can we know the difference? We need to know the difference. Last Wednesday I spoke about it. But there's really four ways to discern a true prophet from a false prophet. Number one is, what Jesus do they preach? What Jesus do they teach? Does he line up with the revelation of the Word of God? What about accuracy of what they say? Are they accurate in what they say? Is there an inner witness in your heart about when you listen to certain people speak? Does it speak? I want you to hear this. When the Holy Spirit, even when he's convicting us, folks, we may be uncomfortable, all right? But there will still be peace. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God be your guide. If you're just getting that thing where something is just, I don't know, I can't put my finger on it, but something just doesn't seem right about this. Something doesn't even feel right. Because if the Spirit of God is in you, the Holy Spirit, you know, what's not of him is going to grieve him. He's going to let you know. He's going to let you know in your knower that something's not quite right. Be careful not to ignore the still small voice that is warning you and say, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't ignore that. Say, maybe it's my imagination. I've done that. There's been times when I didn't listen to God, and later on, I'm saying, has anybody else ever done this? I wish I had listened to the goal. I wish I had listened. All right. And of course, the fruit of the life is very important. You know, Jesus said in Luke 6:43, a good tree can't produce bad fruit. In New Living Translation, a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes. Grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Now, the more surrendered a person is to the source of power from which they operate, the more clearly the attributes of that source become evident. In other words, if a person is operating an occult power, okay, they may even think that they're in legitimate power, because most people, they think that the devil is God. That's why they worship him as God. And so if they continue to go in that direction and derive their power, amen, from that source, then their lives are going to begin to produce that kind of fruit. And usually it won't happen right away. And that's the deceptive thing. You see, the enemy doesn't usually mess you up right away. He draws you in and he gets you deeper and deeper and deeper. And then all of a sudden, the ugliness of the fruit begins to manifest in your life. We're going to talk a little bit about that. The same thing is true when we are operating in the authentic power of God. There's going to be the good fruits of righteousness. Amen. There's going to be love, and there's going to be joy, and there's going to be peace. There's going to be gentleness and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, right? And self-control, all the things that are good fruits of a person who is whole. This talks about a person who is whole. You know, you're saying that person is pretty normal. I don't know what normal looks like, but I'm learning. I'm learning as I look at the normal one, who is Jesus. Amen. I want to be like him because he's the only normal one. Perfectly normal. And so the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of self, of my efforts, of my works, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, right? And these good things and peace. All right. So that's a good way to tell if somebody, or even if yourself, if you're starting to get into the wrong thing, sometimes it can produce all kinds of problems. Inability to sleep, you know, torment in the mind, Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is the fruits of love. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. So those who operate in the authentic power of God are going to have this kind of fruit in their lives. In other words, you're going to become a whole person. But those who tap into the wrong source, sometimes unknowingly, will begin to fragment in their personalities. They will become a breakdown. How many know the devil wants to destroy people? He wants to divide up your mind. He wants us to be caught in between two opinions. Well, one day I'm this way and the next day I'm that way. How many know repentance means I've made up my mind, I'm sold out, I'm all in. It's not 95%, it's I'm 100% for Jesus. When you're 100% ready for Jesus, then he's going to come and he's going to do a work in your life. You got to come to that place where you're all in. That's the problem. So many just want a little spirit change Jesus. They just want a little leftovers Jesus, a little of this, a little of that. A little dab will do you. How many know that a little dab won't do you very long? You got to go all the way with Jesus. When you go all the way with Jesus, you're going to find out, wow, it's wonderful in the God zone. Life is good in the God zone. And so again, those who operate in occult power are going to become more and more like the one that they're serving. In 2 Timothy 3:13, it says, Paul warned Timothy, he said, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There are those who infiltrate in, you see, to the body of Christ, and some who have counterfeit gifts, and some who unknowingly are actually tapping into occult power, and they bring it in, they present it as true ministry from the Holy Spirit. We need to be able to discern what the origin is of that power. Are you with me? The marks of power that proceed from the occult and demonic realm would include hate, pride, unbridled displays of power, depression, jealousy, inability to relate to others or allow others to speak into their lives, and a desire to control others. That's huge. That's one of the main characteristics, is that control spirit that comes in. That's not the Holy Spirit. The enemy who counterfeits the Holy Spirit will get a person into his, in alignment with his thoughts, you see. And then that person becomes manipulative and controlling, and they sometimes will use this spiritual power that they so-called have to control and manipulate others so that they will get them into the position where they are serving them and their needs and their wants. Are you with me? Rather than the heart of Jesus, which says, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. It's another way you can tell. Selfish ambition. Where there's envy and selfish ambition, there's every evil work. A person operating in the occult power may become increasingly more self-destructive. You know? Oppressed. Galatians 5:19 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension and division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I want to use an example of a friend of mine. His name, for the record, is Jason, all right? Let's just say his name is Jason. And there's no connection to Hockey Mass or any of that. All right. His name is Jason. And Jason was a kid who grew up in church. Jason, like a lot of church kids, he sat on the pew and he doodled and he let his mind go and he didn't pay attention to what was happening. And he never really had that encounter and that the experience of being born again. He had been in association, but he didn't really have transformation. You see, there are people that come every week to churches throughout the world that are only in association with God. And they hang out with God's people because they like the good feeling they get and the peace that they feel in the church. But they don't really have that in them. They depend on others actually to sustain them. Do you know that God is trying to say, you and I, we need to go to the source ourselves? Do you know that your brother and your sister, they can be there to comfort you at times and to pray for you and to help you along? We should do that. But they're not going to save your soul. You've got to depend on the Lord. You've got to know Him yourself. Does He know you? Jesus is going to say to some in that day, I never knew you. Does He know you today? Kind of a good question to ask ourselves. Does Jesus know me? He knows those who are His. Did you know that? And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, this guy Jason had, again, he grew up in church. He rebelled like a lot of kids do, you know. He rebelled in his teen years. He got in with the wrong people. Started doing the drugs, the whole thing, the whole party life. And then life began to get hard for him. And because of his mind is in such a state, he started looking in other places. He started looking for alternatives. And out of curiosity, he began to dabble with the occult. You know, I think I'll go get my fortune read today. Maybe, you know, have the cards read. My palm read. Oh, maybe I'll give the psychic connection a call. Talk to Chloe. Are you with me? Maybe I'll just start playing some of these fantasy games and start even fantasizing about, wouldn't it be cool to be this demon or that demon? And we'll get into Dungeons and Dragons and some of that stuff, which is basically recruiting tools for the occult. Isn't it interesting that Harry Potter has got such a following today? Oh, people get upset when you mention that. Oh, what's wrong with Harry Potter? Wake up! It's blatant witchcraft. It's sucking our children into the occult. Have you noticed in the last couple of years the increase of the material? Everywhere you look now, it's books and books and books and books of vampirism and occult. We're losing our young people. There's no discernment because people's eyes are blind because they're not abiding in the Lord. They're not looking at Jesus. They're looking for quick alternatives. And the problem is this too, is that because a lot of people will not seek God for a word for themselves, they're looking for everybody else to tell them what God is saying. And because they don't have their own personal walk with Jesus, they never know His voice. And so it may sound right, but it could be the adversary giving them a curveball, sending them off in the wrong direction. How many know it's time for us to return to the Lord with all of our heart? Amen. I'll say amen to that. Well, let me tell you what happened to Jason. Jason got so bad that he started going up the ladder. He got really deep into the occult. He had these big dudes showing up in his house and chasing him around the house. He wasn't playing around. He was into the Book of the Dead and some of the high up stuff. He started getting into that stuff. And next thing you know, at first it was kind of cool because he could make things move and he can control people with it. And the demons had him convinced that he had all this power. And then all of a sudden, the day came when they turned on him. Payday came. And it got so bad that he became destructive, self-destructive. And he was an extreme alcoholic and drug addict. And one time, and I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. It got so bad that he and his friends one night took lighters and literally burned the flesh off his forearms. And he even went further and they took a bite. And his arms are all mangled up today because of that. Messed up the tendons and everything in his arms. While he was playing one of these, you know, Megadeth songs, He was in such a demonic state of mind and so controlled by these things. The good news is this, is that Jason is now radically on fire for Jesus. He's got born again, he's saved, and he's going out and he's preaching in the prisons and he's getting people saved. Hallelujah. But you see, it began with, you see, just cracking the door, just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And oh, what's the big deal? Folks, can I suggest something to you today? If any of you here have dabbled in anything that has to do with the occult world, let me suggest to you that you need to repent of that. You need to renounce that. And you might even need to get deliverance from it. And we'll pray with you. We don't have to embarrass you. If you want to talk about it some other time, we can do that. But folks, Jesus has sent us, amen, to destroy the works of the devil. And that means we can do that in one another's lives. You can pray for me and I can pray for you. Amen. I remember, and Chuck can remember this, where you had, what's her name, come down to Graham to preach. Karen was into Satanism. She got set free and she got born again. She came down and she shared her testimony. And then afterwards, I just felt impressed to the Lord just to say, how many of you guys have done any of this stuff or dabbled in any of this stuff? And about 80% of the hands went up. You remember that? The majority of the hands went up. And so we had an altar call right there. And God started setting these kids free. But folks, this is a reality, and we need to know what our kids are doing. We need to know what they're watching. What kind of books are they reading? You got to protect them, little minds, amen, because the enemy only wants to destroy them. And it's not a cute little fairy tale, by the way. It's the introduction. It's the beginning point for the demonic, amen, to get into their lives. Yeah, it's in the schools. It's bad in the schools. Yeah. So we need to know what is authentic power from the Holy Spirit based upon the fruits of the Spirit, right? The fruits of one's life, the testimony of what Jesus do they preach, the inner witness that you receive by the Holy Spirit, who will give you sometimes the warnings to be careful of those things. And so also on the other side of that, the occult power eventually begins to fragment the person. They begin to splinter. They begin to break down like Jason did. He got so paranoid he couldn't even go out of his room. He just, instead of being the flamboyant, outgoing guy everybody liked, he was shut down in the house. He couldn't even go out. He was freaked out to be around people. But it didn't begin that way. You see, this is the deceptiveness of it. It's kind of like drugs. You know, at first you feel so good, you're on top of the world. Next thing you know, the fruit is beginning to surface. The fruit of death. And so those two things. And then I want to talk about a third thing here. And that is soulish power. Soulish power. All of us, amen, have a soul. People who do not have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, still have a soul. And in the soul, there are certain abilities that we've been given, intuitions, and ways sometimes that we can read what somebody else may be thinking to some level. I want you to hear this. So that one can actually be operating in soulish power and think that it's the Holy Spirit. And this is where we really need to be careful too. That's why we need to be prayed up and we need to be ready when we minister. But it's not necessarily occultic power, but it's soulish. But through the soulish realm, you see, the enemy will work. It doesn't necessarily start they're in the occult, but because they're starting to use their soul to try to trick people. You know, the psychics are doing it. They don't have the Holy Spirit. And many of them don't start out calling on demonic powers or entities. They begin using their soul power to kind of read somebody's body language or kind of get a sense about, you know, the person looks a little bit down. I can tell that you're dealing with depression today.
How did you know that?
Well, maybe because your face was long and you know, you look dejected. But they don't tell them that they manipulate, they control people, all right, using soul power. Just their natural abilities that they have. All right. Now, often, even Christians, we can get caught up into this if we're not careful. And it begins usually, often through those who don't have a close walk with the Lord. Are you hearing? If you don't have a close walk with the Lord, but you're seeking affirmation from others by what you do, then often You know, because you're unconfirmed and you're unhealed and you're wanting people to make you, to validate you and make you feel that you're valuable and you're worth something. Are you with me? You're depending on people to do that. Now you put yourself in the position where you want to become their God. You want to become their guru. No, you may not say that consciously, but in actions, people do that. They would rather have somebody come to them than to Jesus. Because if they come to me, it will make me look important. Because I'm not validated, I need people to need me so I can be validated. Are you with me? Fathers, mothers, validate your children. We need to do that. And we need to validate one another as the Spirit of the Lord will give us that liberty to do so. But never in flattery. Because people who operate in soulish power will operate usually very manipulative, all right? And they'll use flatteries to control people. They will tell them all kinds of great things about themselves. So that they'll think, wow, that's wonderful. And they will begin to look at that person as though maybe there's something more to that person, all right, than what Christ has actually called them to be. In other words, we make gods out of his servants. That's like when Peter and John, on the way to prayer, and they healed the man at the Gate Beautiful, all right, by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, and the people looked upon them because they were just used to that. The psychics of their days were like the gods, you know. And so they looked upon them as though by their own virtue or godliness they had made this man well. And they said, don't look on us as though we did it in our own wisdom, our own, you know, our own virtue or power. But by the same name of Jesus, amen, that you crucified, that God raised from the dead, this man stands before you whole today. They were very careful to give the glory to Jesus. You see, a true prophet will not represent himself, but he'll represent the one who sent him. So be careful, because there's a tendency in us, especially if we're broken and we're unvalidated in ourselves, to sometimes start to thrive on the opinions of others. If people are saying well about me, I feel so good. If they don't, I feel so bad. And so I look for ways to feel good. And sometimes people use ministry as a way to feel good about themselves. Folks, that is never the motivation of why we minister to people. It must always be out of the love of God for people, irregardless if they recognize us or not. We're not here to draw attention to ourselves, but to Jesus. So sometimes these are the characteristics of a person who may be a brother or sister, but is getting off track. And they're beginning to move in soulish, in that soulish realm. And then, folks, what begins to happen is when a person gets to that place, they begin to literally tap into demonic power. It didn't start out that way, but whenever there's this arrogance of mind and having to be the one, the important one, you're opening yourself up. Why? God gives his grace to the humble. But he resists the proud. So if a person has an arrogant spirit about him, folks, it's usually a sign that you need to be careful. If a person is trying to draw attention to themselves all the time, it's usually a sign you have to be careful. If people are trying to wow you with all their experiences, it's time to be careful. Because we're not to wow people so they'll look at us and say, wow, aren't you something? We wow people and say, look what the Lord has done. Yes. How many have ever received a word from the Lord where you felt? I've received genuine words. And so have you. But how many have ever received words that originated from another person's soul? And when you were hearing it, it felt like it was manipulation or even flattery. Something was just like, yeah. It was too much about the person giving the word than it was actually a word from Jesus for me. Now, Jeremiah 14, the Lord said to me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their hearts. Jeremiah 14:14 in the New Living Translation says it this way. These prophets are telling lies in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord, or tell them to speak. I did not give them any messages. They prophesy of visions and revelations that they have never seen or heard. Do you know there are people who are lying all the time, telling you they're getting all these visions and these dreams and these things that are not even true? Now, God does give dreams and visions because he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. Amen? Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. However, these people are not really seeing anything, but they're trying to convince you that they are because they're looking for you to follow them. And the Lord was upset with these false prophets. He said, they have never seen or heard. They speak foolishness, listen, made up in their own lying hearts. In other words, this is something they just conjured up. Folks, there are people running all over this town that are doing that, by the way. We've run into them here and there. Self-proclaimed prophets. They introduce themselves to you, I'm prophet so-and-so. Now, they may be a prophet, but generally speaking, when a person introduces himself as prophet so-and-so, the flag should be way up. All right. Because that's right there, that's pride. Prophet, evangelist. Sometimes, folks, it becomes a power trip. Why do we even want the power of God in our lives in the first place? It's something we have to ask ourselves, isn't it? Do I want it so that I will look good? I will stand out. I will be the one that everybody looks to and says, wow, aren't you special? Or do I want the power of God in my life so I can represent Jesus? Yeah. An authentic power, and I can bring the world to Jesus. Amen. Not so I can run around and look spiritual, speaking in tongues. Why do we want it? You know, there's a lot of people, unfortunately, who want the power of God, but they don't want holiness. They want the power of God, but they don't want to live right. Are you with me? In other words, out of one side of their mouth, they're saying, I have a word from the Lord for you. And then they're living like the devil. There's a problem with that. You see, a tree is known by its fruit. Remember this. To obtain spiritual power for the glorification of self is to align oneself with the demonic. It's to align yourself with the demonic. If it's for glorification of yourself. Now, the marks of God, the marks of power that come from God are the marks of a healthy personality as well as a mature Christian who is secure in God's love. John 10:1 says, most assuredly, Jesus said this, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, enter the sheepfold by the door, or the portal is that word, portal, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. What is he saying? I am the only way to the Father. I am the only way to the sheepfold, into the glory, into the presence, amen, of Almighty God. I'm the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall find rest. But if someone climbs up another way, the same as a thief and a robber, what is he saying? It is possible for people to tap in to, okay, forbidden things of God. It's called forbidden fruit. There are people who will tap in some other way. They don't want to go through Jesus, so they're going to try to go another way to get into the power. That's where witchcraft comes in. How many know that all power comes from God? How many know that Satan received his power from God? And so they can come another way, you see, to try to come up and climb up, if you will, to get into the place where they can tap into power. And then it becomes occult or illegal power. And yeah, they may make money off people. They may wow people. But judgment day is coming. What we need to do is warn people and say, listen, there's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life. It's only through Jesus. We need to make Jesus our focus at all times. We need to worship Him. We need to come to know Him so we can know His voice. Amen. We love Him. When you know Him, you will love Him and experience Him above all else. I don't know about you, but there is no pleasure like the pleasure of the Lord. Amen. There's no high like the Most High. I've tapped in, I've dabbled with the occult myself when I was in the world. I'll tell you what, there's no comparison. Because the devil always destroys people, you know. He just makes a mess of everything. But Jesus came that we might have life. And life to the full. And let the true prophets of God, let the true people of God, amen, stand up, all right, in true authentic power. Go out, amen, and demonstrate that the kingdom of heaven is among you. Heal the sick, cast out devils, amen, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Let's do the work that Jesus called us to do to confirm that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. That He's alive.